welcome to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that changed their lives and give us a glimpse into their creative process. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and this week we'll be hearing from singer, songwriter, and producer Ty Siegel. And this is our 99th episode, which is crazy, but awesome. And for the 100th episode, which comes out next week, you'll finally get to hear me talk about a life-changing song. My 8-year-old daughter, Liesl, interviewed me, and I interviewed her, and it's been rad making this collaborative family piece, and I can't wait for you to hear it. But let's get back to episode number 99. Ty Siegel. He's been making music since 2008 when he released his first cassette tape, Horn the Unicorn. And Ty Siegel, he's like this non-stop lo-fi garage rock experimental creator. I mean, he released 3 albums in 2012 alone. 3 in a year. And like, he does this. He releases multiple records a year under his own name and with bands like Fuzz. And then he also produces as well. Like, he's a busy guy. His latest record, called Ty Siegel, was released in January of this year, and we have been digging the track Orange Color Queen from that record here at KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas, the radio station where we make this podcast. And so when Ty Siegel came to town earlier this summer, we were like, yay! Taylor Wallace went to Stubbs Waller Creek Amphitheater to talk to him, and she met him backstage, and he told her about a song that changed his life in this very real, physical, and emotional way. So here he is, Ty Siegel.
A few years ago, I got really, really into the band. I've always liked the band, but I became obsessed with the second album. Up on Cripple Creek, she sends me if I spring a leak. She mends me, I don't have the speed, as she defends me, a drunkard's dream. And also, you know, The Weight is probably top 10 songs in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I pulled into Nazareth, was feeling about half-past dead. I just need some place where I can lay my head. Hey, mister, can you tell me where a man might find a bed? He just grinned and shook my hand. No was all he said. My now wife and I, we have a dachshund named Fanny after Fanny in the song.
Okay.
So that to me is like the most physically transformative, because now I have this little incredible dog daughter.
A physical incarnation
of a musical situation, where she is now the Fanny in the song. Take a load off Fanny. Take a load for free. Take a load off Fanny. And you put the load right on me. For all the listeners out there that can't see, I'm going to show a picture of my dog. Wait, how about I show the picture and then you describe her to the listeners, maybe? Does that sound okay?
That sounds great.
Okay, here's one.
Oh my. This dachshund is a meme. This is the happiest dog I've ever seen in my life. I think this dog is on a roller coaster. This expression on this dog looks like what you get off of a roller coaster and you go over and you look at what kind of face did you take when that picture went off, and you're just, your lips are blown back and your eyes are just are just squinted just enough, and it's just absolute ecstasy. Oh my gosh, happy dog.
Happy,
sweet dog. So what is it about the second album that all of this that makes that album that it for you?
You know, that's, you know, oftentimes I'm usually a fan of a band's first album, because it's usually, at least older albums, they're touring a bunch on these songs, they've played them a bunch, they're pure in some way, they're
less, you know, slaved over and whatever.
Sure.
There's an interesting moment in time captured.
Mm-hmm.
Which is totally what that record is. Music mm-hmm. from Big Pink. But for me, I just love the songs more on the second album. You know, in all honesty, I just think the songwriting's better on the second one.
Virgil Caine is a name, and I served on the Danville train till Stallman's cavalry came and tore up the tracks again. In the winter of 65, we were hungry, just barely alive. By May the 10th, Richmond had fell. It's a time I remember oh so well.
But Fanny, The Weight, uh-huh. It's on the first record.
Oh, okay. It's on, okay.
Yeah. But doesn't that song feel like happiness to you?
Yeah. Well, it sounds, I mean, in the band, like, I'm more of a Dead fan, or just a Dead fan who hasn't broken
okay.
into the
All
band
right.
yet.
All right. I know this argument now. I've had this with lots of people, this conversation, the Dead versus the band. See, my perspective on it is it's not even worth comparing.
Well,
because they're totally different bands.
Right. I didn't even know there was a Versus. Argument.
I've heard people say, you know, that the band is a better version of the Dead.
Interesting. Okay.
It's not what I... It's very much not how I feel. You know, there's, like, arguments to, you know, who kind of developed that country rock...
okay.
Americana sound first.
Right.
You know? Because mm-hmm. you look at, like, American Beauty or Working Man's Dead.
Driving that train... Pound cocaine, Casey Jones, you better watch your speed. Trouble ahead, trouble behind, and know that notion just crossed my mind.
And you look at music from Big Pink and the mm-hmm. and their records, and they're, you know, they're very similar time frame there.
On fire, rolling down the road. Just notify my next stop in. This wheel shall explode.
Yeah, and again, I love both bands. I don't even think it's worth having the argument between those two mm-hmm. bands. The world is big enough to have to love both of those bands.
So now that we're on to the Dead, what's your favorite? What's some of your favorite Dead stuff?
No, I'm a first like 10 years of the Dead guy.
Yeah, Working Man's Dead, American Beauty. Yeah,
yeah.
Those are the first records I heard.
Anthem of the Sun and the first album yeah. Rules, and I always feel like I'm pronouncing it wrong, but Axo Maxoa.
Saint Stephen with a rose, in and out of the garden he goes. Country garland in the wind and the rain. Wherever he goes, the people all complain. Stephen Osborne in his time. Well, he may and he may decline. Did it matter? Does it now? Stephen would answer if he only knew how.
Yeah, I mean, Blues for Allah rules.
Roll away.
Those are that era up to that point is really my favorite. But maybe my favorite album is the first Jerry solo record.
The first Jerry solo
Garcia.
Record, yeah.
With Sugary.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the jam.
Shake it, shake it, Sugary. Just don't tell him that you
is I played it on my show several times.
Sugary.
I mean, anytime I get to play the Dead, I like it.
Yeah, I love how the Dead is such a polarizing thing to bring up.
It is, and
that's why it's so fun to talk about.
It's fun to talk about with younger people too, because I mean, we have I have coworkers, you know, in radio who are super deadheads, and it's just great to just let them talk about their stories. And you're just, and then, you know, kind of, they're so excited that it's carrying over. They're so, the millennial deadhead idea is thrilling to them.
Yeah. That's, yeah. I don't think it'll ever die. The dead is just going to keep
living
on. I mean, Jerry lives, man.
Trucking, got my chips cashed in. Keep trucking, like the doodah man. Together, more or less in line. Just keep trucking, home, home, home.
Anything from the band or the dead, has any of that connected with you and, like, written, bled through into like directly influencing your music?
Totally. Yeah, like that style of songwriting. I mean, you know, the first Dead record was a huge influence for me as a young man, mm-hmm. like when I was like 15.
Okay.
You know, and then, you know, like all the, yeah, those first couple band records, the songwriting, just thinking about how to tell a story in a different way.
And
from a different perspective, because those guys write, you know, same with the Dead. It was a cool realization to have that you don't have to write from your own perspective to try to write a story song.
Yes.
And I think I learned that from, you know, them and many other songwriters, obviously, mm-hmm. or, you know, the idea of wanting to do that. But it's cool.
I don't want to call you baby. I don't want to call you lady. I just want to call you hair and grin. Feel the warmth of your skin.
And this is Orange Color Queen from Ty Segall's latest record. And if you've listened to this podcast before, then you will know that I am a huge fan of the band. Like, such a big fan that I often lose my composure when an artist brings them up, like I did when I talked to Mark from the Austin band Sounds Del Mar. And so it's probably good that Taylor spoke to him and not me. And also, like, I'm not really a deadhead at all, which you would know if you listened to the episode I did with writer-director Joss Whedon, who is a deadhead. And, like, I don't think that I would have ever made that connection between the band and the dead, so thanks to Ty and Taylor for walking that path for me. Ty Segall is on the road, of course. He's playing some solo shows in Canada next week, and he'll be in the North American West in October. I'll put his tour dates on the show notes page for this episode, along with a Spotify playlist where you can hear all the songs we referenced in this show all the way through, and considering their band and Grateful Dead songs, that's a good playlist. I'll also post a link to Ty Segall's Wikipedia page, because I believe there is a picture of him there with his dachshund, Fanny, and she is exceedingly cute. If you liked that interview with Ty Segall, then I bet you'll like the episodes we did with folks like Carl Alvarez from Descendants or Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo, all talking about life-changing musical moments. You can find our full archive at kutx.org or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. And like I said, we have over 99 episodes. We actually have 99 plus a couple extras, and our 100th official episode is coming up next week. And it's super sweet. It's my daughter and I talking about life-changing songs. And that's it. You have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was produced and edited by David Sanger and me, Elizabeth McQueen. This interview was recorded by Jack Anderson. Taylor Wallace curates our Instagram account. Kelly Seal is our most excellent intern. And thanks to Deidre Gott and Peter Babb and Todd Callahan for all they do for this podcast. And it is true, our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own Hard Proof. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Snapchat. Our handle is @thissongKUTX. You can like us on Facebook, and you can subscribe to This Song along with the other KUTX podcasts, Austin Music Minute, Liner Notes, and Song of the Day on iTunes. Right on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.